In the news today, Donald Trump's promise to end the war in Ukraine by Inauguration Day is putting him in a position of having to choose between competing proposals from advisors, united by a common thread, a sharp break from President Biden's as long as it takes approach to arming Kyiv. Let's find out what the word is in Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley joins us now. Joe, what are you hearing from your sources?
Hey, Bob. Well, good afternoon from Kyiv. And I'll say, you know, there is, because probably as anyone who's been listening every day here to these Ukraine reports on WGN realizes, you know, it's been a very dark mood for many months, really, especially since the summer. Even if I pinpointed it, it'd be going back to that attack upon the Children's Hospital in Kyiv on July 8th. And the mood was darkening and darkening. And obviously, there's no jubilation in the streets. It's still very difficult. In fact, we had hours and hours of air alarms and Russian-Iranian drones attacking Kyiv through the night up until about 9:30 this morning. But there is a new brightness, in a sense, here throughout Kyiv. And I think, as many people have explained to me, and this is a topic of almost every conversation, even as I, you know, you just see people you know in the streets and chat for a minute or so, that at least there's a change, because the way things were with, as you said, that as long as it takes a philosophy of the Biden administration, everyone felt that it was just going to become a slow bleed. And there's a I think as President Zelensky said, at least now we can move to having a yes or a no and stop living in the maybe. In fact, this was a conversation I had with people, Ukrainians and Americans, at a coffee shop this morning. And so there's a sense that at least there's a chance to really change things, because everyone knew that a change was needed. And, you know, still, as I said, you know, there's a brightness, but it's still, you know, it's still very heavy. And many people in Kyiv did not really get a good night's sleep because through the night, for many hours, a series of air raid alarms, several waves of the Iranian Shahed suicide drones, you know, buzzing like lawnmowers through the city in between the high rises, like some kind of weird Star Wars film. And the Russians really have increased those attacks the past several weeks. And I didn't hear most of the explosions last night. I woke up, a very pleasant way to wake up, sarcastically. I woke up to hear machine gun fire. That was my alarm clock this morning. The air defense desperately working to shoot down the incoming Iranian drones. And then the all clear sounded. And I read the news. I saw that multiple places on the city were on fire, including apartments and a rooftop restaurant. And I went in this neighborhood called the Golden Gates. It's so named because there's it's a reconstruction of one of the ancient gates of Kyiv, this beautiful wood building with a golden dome and a nice park there. There's always someone playing music, even hours after or minutes after a drone attack. And I went to get coffee and after the all clear sounded. And as I entered the coffee shop, I really needed coffee, and I started to wonder that the situation around me was very surreal. Everyone was standing or sitting, not moving and not talking. The whole shop was silent. And for a second, I wondered, maybe I'm dead or maybe I'm still dreaming. And I went to order, and the girl behind the counter didn't respond to me. And then I realized that it was 9 o'clock a.m. on the dot, which, on Ukrainian radio, that's when they is a daily commemoration of the dead, a minute of silence. And at this particular coffee shop, they honor that there in the shop. And so I quickly realized that I needed to shut up and join the minute of silence. And then a few minutes later, the air raid alarms wailed again. And by 9:30 a.m., there were more of these Russian-Iranian drones attacking the city. So it was, fairly rough morning here in Kyiv. And I went for a run a couple hours later. It's a beautiful, bright, crisp fall day. And on the ridge in the heart of Kyiv, overlooking the Dnieper River, there's a triangle of gold and green domed churches. And in this triangle, there's a grassy square on a bluff overlooking the river. And I had missed this before, but there's the ruins of a church. It was called the Church of the Tithes of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, built in the year AD 988, and the foundations of that church are still there. And I was reading the history of it. In 1240, the Mongols from the east, assisted by warlords from an upstart empire called Muscovy, the Duchy of Muscovy, in the year 1240, they destroyed that church, and they burned alive the citizens of Kyiv who had taken refuge in the church. And so I stood there on this bluff in a beautiful crisp fall day, looking at the foundations of that church. There's nice cafes around, people walking around through the park. And, you know, I could still hear the echoes of that machine gun fire from earlier this morning. The drone explosions as well were still in my head. But I could almost hear, Bob, the screams of the people that were burned alive in that church 800 years ago. And you just realize, you know, how many times that people here have been trying to live their lives and have been invaded, sometimes from the West, but usually from the East. And in the Middle Ages, the people of Kyiv rebuilt that church. But when Moscow took over again under communism, the Moscow communist, the Soviet communist, destroyed the church. And so all that's left now are these, the foundations of from the year 988. And then I returned to that same coffee shop to meet with an American colleague, and she gave me a book about Winston Churchill, Winston Churchill in World War II. I haven't read it yet, but maybe some people who are listening have. It's called The Splendid and the Vile. And as she's giving me the book, my American colleague, a girl working at the coffee shop said, can I ask you as Americans, what do you think about the election? And so we offered our opinions, and the American woman said this idea that, you know, at least we have a chance for a change. And the Ukrainian girl nodded and said, yeah. She said, I don't know what Americans think about their domestic problems. She said, I know that's probably something very different, but at least from the Ukrainian perspective, to have a chance to turn things around. And that's what everyone is hoping for and working for. And I think, you know, not wanting to be in this sort of, to quote that old poem, the gray in between that knows neither victory nor defeat. So I sense a bit of a change of mood here in Kyiv, even after a sleepless night of drone attacks.
I can understand that sentiment for sure. So the fact that Donald Trump said a while back that Zelensky should never have let that war start, and that he's one of the greatest salesmen ever, he gets $100 billion on every visit to Congress. Despite those words, it sounds like you and many of the people there are optimistic about what might happen next. Is that right?
I don't know if I would say the word optimistic. And I think, you know, Trump has changed the words he's used about Ukraine. And I think, as I've observed it, I think a lot of it is based on who is talking to him at that particular time, who is meeting him at Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. Back in April, when Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, did push through that spending package and actually pushed Biden to give Ukraine longer range weapons, Trump was speaking very favorably about Ukraine. And there was a change between April and June. And I think it's very important to pay attention to that, because that was the time when Trump began to align with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and with Tulsi Gabbard, both people who often go on Joe Rogan's show to speak against Ukraine. They've never been here, but they say that Ukraine is not a democracy and they're always attacking it. And Trump began to be surrounded by those people. And that's when his rhetoric really became much more negative about Ukraine. And so I think a lot of it depends on who, what is the reality that he sees here. And I know a lot of people here are hoping they can show that, you know, one thing Trump has said recently is that Ukraine is gone. But, you know, you could see it, you know, walking through the streets of Kyiv. This is not a place that's gone. This is a place that, does not want to lose. And if you think at Trump's victory speech, I was talking to people about this today, but he's talking about make America healthy again. And he said that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be his, health czar to get rid of chemicals in our food. And if you look back in May, I don't think anyone could have imagined that Donald Trump, whose favorite restaurant is McDonald's, would be talking about eating healthy food. And I think that shows that there is a possibility to change his mind on some of these topics.
Yeah, good point. I've heard that before about Donald Trump. It all depends on the last person he listens to, oftentimes. It's Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And all I know, Joe, is I'm going to stop complaining about the barking dog next door to us, who kind of wakes people up early in the morning after I heard your story about machine gun fire. So
the barking dog is beautiful music compared to to machine gun fire.
I'll say.
Actually, the machine guns are beautiful because they're destroying the drones.
I get it. No thanks, though. All right. We'll talk tomorrow. Appreciate it, Joe. Thank
Until
you.
Tomorrow.